is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Jim Obergefell and his partner John Arthur were married in Maryland July 11th. Arthur has ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, and is not expected to live much longer. They want their Maryland marriage recognized in Ohio. U.S. District Court Judge Tim Black issued a temporary restraining order yesterday, which would allow Arthur's death certificate to name Obergefell as his spouse. We'll talk about what this case means, not only for Obergefell and Arthur, but for other gay couples in Ohio. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Later in the hour, we'll talk about cybersecurity. But first, joining me, attorney for Obergefell and Arthur, Al Gerhardstein. Good afternoon, Mr. Gerhardstein.
Good afternoon.
I thought a good place to start would to ask you to explain exactly what the temporary restraining order issued yesterday means.
Well, the temporary restraining order that was issued yesterday is a narrow ruling requiring the state and the city officials who are responsible for death certificates not to accept a death certificate for John when he dies unless it lists him as married and lists Jim as his surviving spouse. And that was a very important ruling for my clients. And it was a vehicle also to get a prompt ruling because they needed it. I mean, John is literally dying. But the opinion that was issued in support of that ruling and to explain and justify that ruling is much broader.
First of all, how long does this ruling last?
This is a temporary restraining order. It's what courts do in an emergency situation. It lasts only 14 days. Unless it's extended by the parties or by the court. And so this temporary restraining order expires on August 5th. One of the big differences between a temporary restraining order and a preliminary and permanent injunction in federal court is that you cannot appeal a temporary restraining order. So everything's on hold until August 5th at the moment.
What happens after that point then? What's the next step in all of this?
Well, either before that date or by agreement at a later date, there will be a preliminary injunction hearing. And that'll be a much more extensive hearing. It'll give the defendants time to get their full arguments together. This was obviously rather rushed. We filed on Friday and had a hearing on Monday, so they may want more time to think this through. And at that hearing, everybody will be able to present any evidence they want. And then the judge will issue a more comprehensive decision, and that decision is appealable and can be tested by the Court of Appeals as whether it's accurate or not.
Now, you call this a very narrow ruling, and that's because it just applies to these two people. Is that correct?
Two things. It does just apply to these two people, and at least at this stage, it only addresses their death certificate. Now, before this case is done, we will seek full recognition of their marriage for all purposes in Ohio. And Judge Black's decision was pretty broad. I mean, he says at one point that the purpose served by treating same-sex married couples differently than opposite-sex married couples is the same improper purpose that fails in Windsor and Romer, and those are two Supreme Court cases. And he describes it as a purpose to impose inequality and to make gay citizens unequal under the law. I mean, he's saying that there's no legitimate state interest to support the state when it refuses to recognize the marriage of a gay couple that they get in an out-of-state situation. So I think for other purposes, filing joint tax returns, declaring who the surviving spouse is for benefits. I think all those are on the table now, and as we go forward, we'll make sure that these two individuals secure those rights. And we are getting calls from other people, and we may take up their causes as well.
Now, you have compared this to cases where first cousins marry in other states where it's legal and then move to Ohio and those cases are recognized. How does this compare?
Well, Ohio, since the late 1800s, has had a set of rules that this state follows when they allow ceremonies of marriage to go forward here and be recognized. Under those rules, if you are a first cousin, you can't get married in Ohio. But if you're in love with your first cousin and you really want to get married, you can go to Massachusetts and you can get married there. I'm just, I have a chart. I don't have it in front of me, but there are a whole bunch of states that have it. And Massachusetts used to be one of them. I don't know if they still are. At any rate, you can get married as a first cousin, come back to Ohio, and Ohio doesn't blink. It says, okay, you had a valid marriage in a state where you could follow those rules, and therefore we're going to accept this as a valid marriage. And that's why I use it as a comparison, because I don't see the difference.
We're talking with Al Gerhardstein, who was the attorney for a gay couple married in Maryland in court yesterday for a temporary and receiving a temporary restraining order. If you have a question or a comment, 513-419-7100. You also can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter. This question comes from Facebook, and it is from Kyle, who says, historically, has a federal court ever overturned an Ohio constitutional amendment? Mr. Garris?
I don't know whether an Ohio constitutional amendment has been overturned. I can tell you that federal courts hold laws unconstitutional all the time. And of course, the best example of a comparable is the U.S. Supreme Court held a provision of the Colorado state constitution to be unconstitutional. And that provision is the Romer case, and it prohibited the state from passing any laws that would protect gays from discrimination. And in Romer, the U.S. Supreme Court said, you can't do that. That's not a legitimate state purpose. So even though the people of the state of Colorado had voted to amend their constitution in that way, the U.S. Supreme Court struck it down. And that's very important. And I think it gets to another point related to this question. The fact that the majority of the people vote on something and make it a law doesn't make that law any more robust. It still must pass the constitutional requirements of due process and equal protection, because we can't allow minority rights to be totally determined by the majority, because the majority is the worst protector of minority rights.
Heather asks, how does this lawsuit affect other married gay Ohioans? And you sort of answered that with the narrow description, but can you take that a step further? Does it have any direct effect on other married gay Ohioans?
The order itself does not reach other married gay Ohioans, but the reasoning in the court's opinion certainly sets a strong precedent that would allow those other same-sex couples married in other states to bring claims similar to this.
And one more question from Andrea. She says, could this possibly be one of the first steps toward legalizing same-sex marriage in Ohio? And again, you touched on that. Do you see this as the way it's going to go? Do you see this continuing? As you said, you're getting more calls from couples who perhaps would like to be have you take on their cases.
Well, that's a good question, because there's a line. All the cases I'm thinking about and that I think are really impacted by this decision would involve same-sex couples married in another state or country and then coming here. Nothing I'm doing and none of the precedent that we're setting would be transferable to just require the state of Ohio to allow same-sex couples to marry in Ohio. The U.S. Supreme Court reserved to the states in Windsor just a month ago this power to designate what your rules about marriage are going to be. So far, the precedent we're setting doesn't go all the way. And that's still, that's work to be done yet. And there are other cases that are looking at this, and I'll certainly look at it. But I think there's still going to be a role for an initiative petition to repeal the Ohio Constitutional Defense of Marriage Act and the statutory language that blocks gay marriage in Ohio.
But that's not something you're necessarily trying to do with this particular case.
No, that is not relief that we are trying to seek in this case. But, you know, we're whittling away at the barriers.
What are your hopes for 2 weeks from now when this TRO is over?
Well, my hope is that first we'll get a permanent injunction, or at least a preliminary injunction, that will in fact give clear direction supportive of my clients, that their marriage will be recognized and that the death certificate will be filled out accordingly. And beyond that, we're seeking an order that their marriage be recognized for all purposes. And that would be tremendous precedent for a lot of people, but a huge win for this couple and really give them a big boost in these very, very difficult days in the last days of John's life.
As you do say, he is in the last days of his life. If he dies before the temporary restraining order expires, would the case continue?
Yes, because, an easy one is that John and James would want to file a joint tax return for 2013. So even though he has passed away, the right, just like a married couple that of opposite sex, that right would exist for the year of the death of the one spouse. So, yes, the case will continue.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, that's all right. Thank you for hosting this and for educating the community that much more.
I've been talking with civil rights attorney Al Gerhardstein about yesterday's temporary restraining order, which will allow his clients to be listed as spouses on a death certificate. Next, cybersecurity. How safe is your privacy and what companies are doing to help protect your confidential information? You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, email us talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.